Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Good afternoon, hello, yeah, hi. Saz in for Scott still, yes, me again. Becky's here as well. Oh, hang on a minute, a different mic on it. Are you there?
Hello.
Oh, right,
that's probably because we're having the same studio as Greg today, so maybe he has it different to you.
Yeah, and this seat was particularly hot after he's had his piercing. Wow.
In his ear.
In his ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't get a bum pierced. If you just... although, what's the next total? Let's go for it. That's what we can do tomorrow. sorry. Connecting chain came into my head. How are you? Have you had a good day so far? We are going to get the total. There's loads of other people in here as well. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Liam. The Pierce is still sat menacingly in the background and word is going to sort of run at me at some point and pierce the first area he gets to. So we're going to find out the next total for Greg, aren't we? It's exciting.
And he set a thing that if he's got the amount. So he said if he gets more than that, he's going to have the other ear pierced as well.
So he's had one pierced already. We're going to do the other piercing if it's above the amount, which he stated earlier on. Mm-hmm. Excellent. You have a nice night last night?
It was good, yeah.
Yeah.
How was your curry?
Not a lot of depth of flavour to my curry kit. Mm. But I think I know why. I didn't give it time for the flavours to infuse.
I didn't think you'd go wrong with a kit.
I know.
But
it took
you
me
did.
Ages as well. I'm quite a competent cook, but when you've got a recipe written down in front of you, it takes you ages. Even if you had a recipe to make toast, it'd take you ages because you'd keep going back to it because it undermines your knowledge. Do you know what I mean? So even if it was like open packet of Warby's or other sliced bread, put slices in toaster, do you know what I mean? You'd still be going back to look at the instructions. It'd take you ages. Whereas when it's something you can do with your eyes closed, do really easy, you just bosh. Do you know what I mean? If you're used to making curry, then you just know what you're chopping up, know what you're chucking in first. Kept going back. Kept squinting at it like a mad scientist at this little recipe that I got with my little kit. And then I didn't put any salt in. And I think that's where I went wrong. And the depth of flavour. Then I thought I'll let it thicken up a bit. So I put MasterChef on. And the cruel irony is that whilst watching MasterChef and gently heckling the MasterChef contestants on their cooking, my curry was slowly drying up and burning away in background. But I'm hoping, a bit like spaceman food, I can just add a bit of water and it'll just fluff up again and become delicious.
What, have you saved it for tonight?
No, I froze it now. I froze it for if, like, in a couple of winters' time we get another big snow drift and we eat everything in the house, including all the dog biscuits and baby food and everything like edible pants and body paint, stuff like that. We've eaten everything in the house. Then finally I might have to add a bit of water to my dried up chicken cuzza and eat it. If it's an emergency, I will eat it. But apart from that, congratulations to Prince William and Kate Middleton, by the way, on telly. They've just done the first public engagement. It was in Wales. Look, I didn't have any volume on, but it looked like they were launching. Well, they can't start with a ship because they're not married yet. So it looked like a dinghy from like a lifeboat service, which was really sweet. And Kate kind of like, it's not easy to smash a bottle on a dinghy. I know. Not really. You know, because you imagine it would just bounce off. But anyway, Kate did a little speech and stuff. And bless, Prince William was like, ah, woo! Like, being really supportive, stood next to me. Yay! Get in, woo! Woo! Yeah! Like that, next to her, being really supportive. It was really sweet and romantic. So they've done that, so nice. So curry, future king, and piercing next.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast.
Am I right in thinking the cameras are now a go-go action? Hang on, am I on at all? Oh, there. Oh, hi.
There it is.
Hi. So, yeah. Right, okay. So, you can watch online, bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. Click on the cameras, get involved. Greg.
Okay.
Lots of people have been texting desert to 70011 to show their love for Scott, to show their support for Scott. You very kindly, very bravely already had one ears pierced.
Yeah.
One ears pierced. And you're going to get the other one pierced if we raise the amount that you said. And well done, lots of people. I've been texting and I've got some incredible news for you right now.
Okay, good.
Okay. The amount raised since the last catch-up total is 381,951. We've done it! Yay!
Okay, that is good. That's a huge
get
amount.
Get the piercer ready. We've got the man ready to do the piercing. 381,951, Greg. Okay. That's what you said. And so now the piercing can commence. We've got the antiseptic.
I said 400.
Eh?
I mean, 380 is pretty good, but I said 400 for the other ear. Because I've got the one ear done.
Yeah.
But for the other, 400.
All right. So, I mean, I don't... This is a bit awkward. I have got a clip of you mentioning the amount that you wanted raising. So I don't want it to get awkward, but do you want me to prove...
Yes.
The amount that you said.
Okay.
Don't know why you're bandying around this 400,000. This is you earlier on. We just clipped up a bit of the show just for legal reasons.
If we get to £380,679, the total from Radio 1,
yeah.
I will get both ears pierced.
£380,000.
So hang on again. What was it? If we get to £380,679, the total from Radio 1, I will get both ears pierced.
I think that's your old phone number from your uni days, that number, and that's why it's stuck in your head.
All right, well, okay,
fine.
And you
insisted that bit, and we've done it.
Radio 1 podcast.
And Greg, you're very brave.
Okay.
You're going to have your ear pierced now.
Yeah, I'll get it done, why not?
That is
amazing. That's amazing total.
It is an amazing total. Very good. Scott's going to be thrilled when we tell him about it in a little bit. Now, we ought to say that we've not forced Greg into getting his ears done.
Although
I can't read these
things. I can turn the camera off me while I read these bits. This is horrible. Under this regime, we've not forced Greg into getting his ear pierced. He has thought about it, and he's happy to go ahead.
Yeah.
In fact, he's thrilled. Doesn't say that on here, but I can just tell. Do not try this at home. We have got despite him looking a bit dodgy, Liam is trained and is a licensed professional. He's in the studio with us now. That's who's going to be performing the ear piercing. You know, it's no dodgy setup. He's a proper professional and that.
Right. You can watch it online now then, I suppose.
You can watch it at bbc.co.uk/radio1. Click on the live.
So if I remember from earlier, Liam had to dot my ear.
Okay.
So, Liam, you can dot away.
Just going to give it a wipe and then dry your dot for you.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. Here we go. The dot is being...
This is
your dot. Isn't Greg just offering up fleshy bits of his body?
How are you feeling about this?
I feel all right about this one. The other one didn't hurt that much, and I think it seems silly not to match them.
Have you ever been stung by a wasp?
Never.
No?
Okay. No. Is the second one worse than the first?
Apparently so.
Really?
One side always hurts more than the other.
Well, the other one was easy, so this must be...
Childbirth.
Sorry.
Here we go.
Ah! It's the noise.
Oh, that one did hurt way more. Why did that hurt more, you sicko?
Oh.
Ah.
Why is it so funny that he's got both of them doing that?
Auntie Greg.
He does it like some sort of 70s soap character.
It's now... I want some pearl droplet earrings in there. That's incredible. Wow.
You like that?
It looks cute. You've now got two pink sparkly studs in your ears.
Oh, that click.
It was a click then, a fleshy kind of fleshy puncturing noise, wasn't it?
They brought in so many paper towels earlier in case I bled. We got a bleeder.
What a way to go all live on air. Podcast. You look lovely. I want to give you some sort of Diamante brooch to go with it and possibly a little
Isn't it amazing the reaction of what... Becky saw the first one and didn't find it that funny. She's seen the second and can't control herself. Do I look like Deirdre? Is that what it is?
It's really cute.
Is it a bit Barlow?
It's a little bit... Is it Deirdre? Which one are we thinking of?
Nora Batty?
Shall I go and get a few wigs from
What's
upstairs?
She
and then
What's she called that chef? Delia! You look
Delia.
A bit like Delia, maybe. Just because of the hair and the little sparkly...
The hair! Don't have a go at the hair. I've got two pink earrings in.
You're very brave, Mr. Greg James. All for comic relief and to get support in for Scott. Text
Good.
Desert to 70011. Are you gonna rock that look? Are you going to keep it going? I think Beckham's got both ears pierced.
Not pink studs, though.
Yeah, but not pink studs. You're right, actually. good luck with the missus later. It could go either way.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
Lots of people now are texting in, Greg is the new Pat Butcher, LOL. And I've also donated Sarah from Telford, thank you very much. Sean, building in Carlisle, says, someone buy Greg some tidy Pat Butchers for his ears. Slang for big earrings.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Come on, admit it, you've all tried to spell out the life goes on bit while you're driving along in your car. How would you not get it wrong? I've got it written down in front of me. L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. See, I'm still not very good at it. You do it, Becla.
It confused me for ages. I was like, what word's that that ends in it? O-N-E. I was like, I don't get it. I thought it was like one long word at first, but it took me ages. But then Greg said it, and that's fine.
You were like, what is it? You're like, I think I've been on a holiday there. Is it in Greece? No, it's not. It's life goes on.
I think you could do it if you weren't thinking about anything else. But the minute you're having to multitask and sing it, you can't.
Yeah, that's why I can't do it when I'm driving.
Put me in a dark room. And then tell me to do it, and I think I probably could if there was no other distraction. That wouldn't be very entertaining.
You know what I mean? It'd be a lot of effort to go to be honest, as well. So we've got to organise the dark room, we've got to sit there, we've got to record you doing it, you know. We've got to empty your mind. It should take a long time.
That would take, yeah.
You're the kind of girl who's always got a slightly cluttered mind, haven't you? Lots of little things in there. Is it a bit like with Homer Simpson when they go inside his brain sometimes and there's two monkeys on a seesaw?
Yeah.
So last night, great telly on last night. MasterChef was fantastic. Don't want to ruin it. If you've recorded it and you were like lovely Chloe upstairs, we don't want to ruin it. But this basically sums up what went on MasterChef last night, making a welcome return with a brand new series with the lovely Greg Wallace and John Turode. Here we go. So this is MasterChef from last night. Catch up.
Where's my food?
That's kind of it, really. That's some... sums it up.
I want that so that I can just play it constantly. That's the sort of thing I'm always shouting, where's my food?
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a little sort of sound effects box to keep at home with me. Like on the couch next to you, where's my food? What else would be in there?
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry. Yeah. In your bed, Snoop. I think that's what Snoop thinks his name is, in your bed, Snoop. Because that's all I ever say to him. In your bed, okay. He walks around. I don't know what he's looking for. Well, obviously food, but once he's done...
What do you expect from a dog? The dog's not meant to walk around.
Why don't he just chill out? But he walks around constantly, bless him. I think he forgets, because he's getting on a bit now. He's like, what are we in, 2011? He's 11.
Is he? Does he like walk into the room? He's like, now, what have I come in
here for? And then he's like, whoa. And he sits there and he taps his paw on his chin like that.
Like he's thinking.
What is it? And then he's like, nope, it's gone. So he walks under the kitchen table, has a quick scan under the eye chair for any food, walks around, sniff about, stands there, looks confused and starts it again. And when you're trying to watch telly, he's got such long, because he's a hound, he's got really houndy nails all over our wooden floor. Snoop, get in your bed. In your bed, Snoop. In your bed, go on, go on. Off he goes. We bring his bed in from the hall and put it in front of the telly for him at night.
Aww.
We all cosy up. Yeah, nice. Give him a pig's ear to chew. He's happy. So, right then. Next, other good telly that was on. I meant to watch this last night, so I'm really thrilled. I get to work and we've got a catch-up facility. I missed the Model Agency brand new show on Channel 4, 10 o'clock last night. Missed it. So here we go. This is what happened on the Model Agency last night.
I've got something so big going down on the phone, Jamie. I can't cope, honestly. I've been crying. Oh, I'm so pretty stressed. I feel like I can't let her down. I'm just so tired and drained. Right, I'm going to go and cry in the toilet. Chris, have you got tissues there?
No, but if you ask Jack, he's got a box.
Jack, you've got tissues.
Who's Jack? Did Jack have any tissues?
Oh, no.
Is that the
Jack
cliffhanger?
No,
is that how it ended?
Don't say whether we had... Well, I don't
Does
know.
Jack have tissues? Find out next week on the Model Agency. Does it continue like this? Is it just some bird crying all throughout the entire show?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, no, just everything.
Oh,
I get upset for you. God, I'm having a cry while you cry.
Like yesterday's show a bit, isn't it? Miss Butter to Scott.
Oh. Okay.
I keep crying. Okay. I've had about 10 cries today.
I had a cry. You can do it. Oh, stop crying.
See, so I've saved you an hour there.
Was that it? So that
pretty
I don't
much.
Really have to watch it now.
No.
It was just that. Yeah. Just like someone just kind of crying.
She was really upset. She'd had like 10 cries.
She'd had 10 cries.
And the rest.
I thought I was mental, but I feel much better now. I don't think I have 10 cries in one day. I might
not
have a
work.
Couple of cries, especially not at work. The woman at the end is like, stop crying. I'm laughing, but actually, I really want to punch you facially. Because you're doing my head in, just keep crying. 10 cries.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
OMG, says Ellie in London. I am so glad you picked up on that woman from the model agency. She was so annoying. If you're listening, my love, by the way, I feel quite bad for her. She's listening. She's the one who was crying all the way through. Pull your socks up. No, you'll be right. It says well, no, I think. She was so annoying. The preview of next week seems to show that she just gets worse next week. She just cries even more and probably does that hiccup thing where you can't get your breath because you cry so much, especially if you do 10 cries. I didn't know those things you could say like that. Like, I've cried 10 times, I've done 10 cries. MasterChef was brilliant last night. I really enjoyed it. I know there's been a lot of flack in the papers saying that it's gone X Factor style and it's gone, you know, really too dramatic and too many, like, close-ups and, like, you know, people getting, you know, telling their backstory and quite sad stories and, you know, their background stories. I mean, not like, I've got a dodgy back, so that's where I cook. But there was lots of, like, if I don't get through, I'll be devastated kind of things on last night. And there was a girl. We had a pan dropper, didn't we, last night? A lady who dropped her pad thai on the floor. Now, I missed that bit. I think I was off faffing about with my slightly burnt curry at that juncture. So she dropped the pan. Is that right, Becky?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to cry again? Why have you gone quiet on me?
Because I'm pretending I watched it last night.
Oh, did you not watch it?
No, I didn't.
Ah, right, okay. Well,
I watched the week before. Well, no, I wasn't sure about watching it last week.
Like if you, just say if you didn't watch it, don't just...
Well, I did.
Not speak. You're
I
like,
nodded. No, I've seen clips of it, but I watched it last week and I was like, are they trying to make out that John and Greg, like, secretly fancy each other? Did you notice that in the cutaways where they're like, oh, like doing like little winks to each other? Like me and my boyfriend were like, oh, I wonder if they'll get together by the end of the series.
That's hilarious.
Whether that's like a subplot.
Yeah, like will they or won't they? Yeah. Like Simon Cowell when he had his arm over the back of Cheryl's chair, that kind of thing. Like
it
a
is,
bit of like a frizzle.
Yeah. So
no,
she dropped her pan.
Good. She dropped a pan, but I missed the pan dropping bit. I just saw on Twitter because Lisa Faulkner, winner of Celebrity MasterChef, is tweeting away. And I think she's got a bit of a, I think Lisa's a bit like, oh, I want to be there doing it again, you know. So there's lots of funny stuff on Twitter about all the contestants on MasterChef. There's also a young lady who dropped the pan. She did a pad thai. She'd been travelling in Thailand, so she knew what a pad thai was truly supposed to be like.
listening to Jack Johnson.
It's sending, yeah, listening to Jack Johnson. Yeah, it's smoking. Adjustic. And so she apparently knew what it was like, an authentic pad thai because she'd been travelling. But she seemed like a sweet enough girl. I mean, you know, I wouldn't have her round, but I'm sure she's a nice person.
What, because she dropped the pan?
Exactly.
You burnt your curry. She could teach
well,
you a thing
or two.
We'd
be a good pair, wouldn't we? But anyway, there's one point where instead of saying thank you, she did a little sort of prayer nod forward and said a word which I think is like, is it a yoga thing like yamas?
Well, the thing
is it a Thai word?
I think it's like a sort of salutation type thing. Mm. But we do yoga here at Radio 1. Mm-hmm. Like you can pay for yoga lessons at some upstairs in the boardroom, some lunchtimes. And it's one of those things that they say it at the end of the class. Like, because I joined kind of
so
midway through
it?
The term. The thing is, it's one of those things where everyone says it and I've always been too scared to ask. So if you force me to say it, I think it would be namaste. But I don't know, because it's one of those things that you sort of... You know when you're not sure of something?
And
if
you're quite relaxed and zoned out at the end of yoga, and then
you sort
of
go... Mm-hmm.
So what do? You go... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. I've never been... I'll know now, because I've had to say it.
8199, yeah. But yeah, no, they'll know next week. They'll all go, let's be quiet so Becky can lead the...
But you know, you must have something like that.
No, we've got it in body combat where Christine encourages us to do some shouts when we do, like, our back kicks and stuff. I never know what to shout when I'm doing. They seem to shout, Kia! which I think is like a Toyota. Isn't there like a car that's like a Kia or something? And I'm always like, hiya! Because that's just like in the movies, but nobody else seems to do it. And so, and some of them seems to go like, shnya, like that. Like when they're doing like a back kick, like, shnya, kya. And I just never know what to shout when I'm up. And also, because I want to join in and I want to, like, and it's brilliant when we all shout something, you can't really tell what we're shouting, but it sounds really good because there's like sort of 30 of us in the class, we're like pumping techno music going, yeah, and it sounds ace, but then it sort of dies down and no one does it. And I'm always the last one to do it. You know, like when a song stops and you sort of going, I've still got that rash. And like everyone hears you, it's me going, yeah. In the background, like, which I think is a car. So some yogics will get on now, no doubt.
It's namaste.
Namaste.
Which means hello or goodbye in Hindi, I think.
Does it not mean thank you?
Sure, it could mean thank you if you want it to mean thank you.
Just because she'd just done well, I don't want to do a plot spoiler, so to then go, goodbye. It's just weird. I thought.
Oh, no, not if she's off.
I thought it meant nice one.
High five.
High five. Radio 1 Podcasts. Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcasts. So thanks very much to everybody who responded to. Oh, now then. Oh, by the way, you know when they shout stuff in body combat? It's Kiai. It is, apparently. It's Japanese and it's used in karate to aid aggression and power, says Andy in Hertfordshire. In body camera, they show Kiai to focus the end of the move and to tense the body, says Carl on his way home to Newark. Kiai! That's what I'm going to shout on Tuesday. Chris?
Yes?
Chris Smith, you've been to Thailand.
I've been to Thailand, so
you travelled?
Yeah, I'm well, very well travelled, yeah.
Oh, by the way...
How much Jack Johnson does he have? Jack Johnson album?
A lot of Jack Johnson goes on there.
Text going, don't you diss
Jack. I'm not dissing Jack, I've got two myself.
Yeah. When I was travelling, you've got two what?
Jack Johnson album.
Oh, right.
From when I was travelling, yeah.
Yeah, don't, they'll be surfing up to the front door of Radio 1 Towers and that. And like, peace signing us to death and stuff. And boring. So, you travelled in Thailand?
Yeah, so I can make a proper pad thai.
And were you watching MasterChef?
Certainly was.
And were you and the missus going, oh God, as a travelling woman?
Yeah, we were like, how pretentious is that? How long she spent in Thailand? Like 2 days?
And what
that's
did she...
But that's what I love about people who've been travelling, is that they always like have a go at other travellers, like, oh yeah, she's been like 2 days here. We did like a week here. That's what you were like last night.
Did you do a cooker? Did you do a cookery course while you were in Thailand?
We didn't, no, but yeah. I reckon she has. She's probably been for a whole 2 days. So.
And then he was there for like 6 months.
Yeah, she can do like Tom Yong Gung, Tom Kha Gai. She can do everything.
I had a pen pal called Tom Kha Gai.
Did you?
Yeah, he was a nice chap.
Chickeny.
From Wigan. Now then, chickeny. So what do we think she said?
I think she said thank you, which is Khao Khun Kha.
Ah, okay, Khao Khun Kha.
I really hope that's right.
In
for everyone.
Yeah, for everyone. For all of our
she
careers.
She was really insulting Greg Wallace.
So yes. All right, kids are going to go hungry. Tom Kha Gai or not. Okay, thanks very much for that, Chris. He knows everything about Thailand and travel. This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1. Scott, Craig, David, Cara Toynton, hello, Kenya.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, dear. Gosh, sorry, I was being all upbeat then. You all sound completely cream crackered. Where are you?
Your guess is as good as mine. We are somewhere in northern Kenya, mm-hmm. in a campsite where we've pitched some tents, not unlike some of the other campsites, because after a while they all look a bit the same.
Okay. How long
yeah, but it's
you...
good. We've got our tents up, and yeah. Sorry, my voice is really gone today. Today was the, no doubt, the toughest day of my life.
Yeah.
So far.
Well, you knew today was going to be tougher. You said that yesterday, but was it even tougher than you expected? Tell us about it then.
Over to Cara.
Oh, goodness me. Okay. Well, we started and we knew it was day four, so it's kind of that big push. Mm-hmm. We know tomorrow hopefully will be easier because we're heading for the finish line, but it was the hottest day because it reached sort of 48 degrees, didn't it? Nearly 50, and we were all melting. And it was just about getting to the end, but there were dodgy times, and we're not. I don't think we're getting any better, are we?
There are times when we're a bit slower, and towards the last couple of kilometres of this bit, as we approached our camp, tonight, I didn't think I could do it anymore. I felt so sick.
No, it was a very, very tough day. I mean, you had Lorraine sort of going into breaking down in tears when she got to the first stop. I think there was a moment where we'd kind of broken up, that we kind of were trying to sort of keep together, but then it was like getting so hot that everyone was going at a different speed. So then by the time we got back, people were coming back by themselves, and Lorraine ended up just like with her feet with all these blisters. She's thinking about her family at home, is getting really emotional. So it's really tough out here.
We're giving Lorraine lots of hugs.
Yeah,
she's got a lot of kisses and hugs. Poor Lorraine, send her all our love. Now it'll all be worth it. I know you've got support teams there and people who know what they're doing, but have there been moments where you've sort of genuinely like worried for your health? Like, you know, I heard you say with Chris this morning, you just felt a bit panicky, Scott, because you just felt so sick. Oh, is that?
Yeah. Oh, hang on. Yeah, I did actually. Who's that?
You're not cheating, are you? Is that your taxi?
Yeah,
we're in Elstree, where they used to do Big Brother. No, it's one of the guys that delivers our food.
Oh, lovely. Off he goes. Oh,
hooray, we've got food for tonight. Woo.
Gosh, do you not just want to jump on the back of that Land Rover and just speed off?
No, I did panic a little bit earlier because I wasn't feeling right at all. And I just think it was, because I started to think it was a tummy bug or something, which is entirely possible because it's completely different temperature, completely different food. But I'm fine now. I think it was just a bit of exhaustion and the heat, really. Mm-hmm. But what happens is, and I did say this earlier, I started to panic. Like I do, because I'm a bit of a hypo anyway. But I started to panic because I was like, how am I going to get out of this? I know I probably could, because there'd be people somehow, but they weren't there at the time. And I was thinking, I feel like I'm going to faint. Oh, God. And then you worry about that, and then that makes it worse. And then you go a bit panicky, and then it's hot. And I was like, oh, no, I don't like this at all. Because I didn't. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere cool to go, you know?
I don't know if you knew today, there was actually. We ran out of water halfway through.
Yeah.
Oh, and it literally got to the point where people were rationing on their. We have this little camel pack on our back with like 2 litres of water, but I mean that's gone in a second if you really went for it. So there was
drink
no water.
So much
halfway.
Water here because it's so hot.
So there's pictures
Scott
in
did
the
look
paper.
Like a bit of a film star today.
Oh, did he? Why? Well, you're rocking a very good look in the paper today, Cara. You've got there's a picture of Ollie sort of washing his nappy rash, bless him. Next to him is a photo of you, and it's in the Daily Mirror today. And it looks like a little bit, you know, when you go on your holiday and they try on the life jacket and they say, if you want to add more air and reinflate it, blow in this. It looks like that kind of thing. You've got this sort of tube coming off your back. So is that where you drink your water from?
That's where our water comes from. I can't tell you, it tastes disgusting. It's so hot, the water. So every time you're thirsty, you're just sort of desperate for a bit of coldness in the mouth. But no, you have this plastic water. But Scott resorted to sort of wrapping a T-shirt around his head. Look, like something out of Prince of Persia.
I was so... it was a really good look. Or not. But I was fine, and I was trying to keep myself cool. The hats are really scratchy, and I've got a big hat mark on my head, so I just thought, do you know what? It's day four. It's 48 degrees. I'm just going to put a T-shirt on my head and put water on it and hope warm water on it and hope that works.
So it's a little bit like the old Brit abroad with a knotted hanky on your head. You're doing us all proud.
Exactly that. Exactly. It's so good in the documentary.
There's no shade then today, and just a lot of what's the terrain like, Craig? Have you found it really hard going today? How are your feet?
My feet are completely destroyed. There's no two ways about it. But I've been trying to sort of keep it.
Do you mean like what? Lots of blisters and just.
There's blisters. It's like it's rubbing at the back of the heel, and then you almost kind of you want to, at the point where you're about to complain, you stop and you're walking past a village and you just see these people have nothing. Like literally, they're looking at your bottle of water that you may have packed in your thing that you keep on like refilling if you haven't got a camel pack, and they're just like, can we just have the bottle, the plastic bottle will be enough, just that they can put water in. You're like, how can I complain about my feet when you have nothing? It is really life-changing, I think, for everyone here, because on the brief you're like, okay, you're trekking across the desert, you look at the heat, you think, okay, we've been in the heat chamber, we get through this. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And you feel like when you complain about things, you have no right to, because we get to come home at some point. These people are staying out here under these conditions.
And when you do come home, Craig, do you think, I mean, how long is this going to stay with you for? And do you think it's going to change how you kind of, your perspective on life and just how lucky we all are?
Me and Craig were having a hot walk earlier, and we were discussing this, weren't we?
Yeah, and we said, look, it's one of those things that we adapt. We always adapt to an environment. So obviously now we're dealing with the situation at hand, which is to raise as much money as we possibly can for these people who have trachoma or trying to like prevent it. And we said that when we get back, obviously you're going to fall into certain kind of routines that you would have been before, but it's changed us enough that there'll be consistency of getting involved to maintain this, because that otherwise you come home, you think, what did we really achieve if we raised money but we haven't really changed our lives anyway to move forward to help these people? Because I'd love to, and I think all of us speak on behalf of everyone, to come back or do something that can help these people, because it's bigger than just 5 days out here. I mean, there's a major problem in Kenya with people suffering with trachoma and poverty, and I just think if we can actually come home and continue as we mean to go on, it'll be incredible. So,
well, listen,
very much life-changing.
Guys, you're doing an incredible job. We're all so proud of you. We really, really are. And a lot of people, all your listeners, all texting, all have been amazing. All the Radio 1 listeners have really done you proud. And the total at 4 o'clock... I've got a little something to cheer you up in a second as well. Well, two things. First off is the total. Or should we do the... Well, this is how we kind of got to this next total, basically. Greg James had his ears pierced today to show his support. He had one ear pierced, and then we wanted to get the money up even more, so he had a second ear pierced. So do you just want to hear that moment of agony from Greg? Might cheer you up a bit.
Greg is mad, but
here we go.
Fair play to him.
So this
go
is
on.
Him. Here we go. Ouch. So that was the moment.
Ow. Legend for doing that.
And hilariously, he looked a little bit like Delia Smith at the end. like because he's got like his hair and then a little pink earring in each ear. Very cute. So he did that, and it was well worth it, because the total from at 4 o'clock was 381,951. So just a shade
amazing.
Under 382,000. So we'll get another total just in a little while. We're going to keep you up to date. Scott, lots of people on Facebook have been on. Debbie Collins says, come on, you can do it. Man Up Mills, we're all rooting for you. Molly Allen says, go Scott, you're doing amazing. Please come home soon. I miss you a lot. Lots of love from Molly. Sandra says, well done mate, the end is looming. Bet it don't feel like that to you, but you and the gang have been fab and for such a worthy cause. Big hand to you. That's from Sandra, Rod and little Evan. And Anna Stern says, you and the rest of the team are inspiring, well done. And also Scott, think of the tan you'll come back with. So which is very true, of course, as well. Podcast. Scott, before you go, just tell us what's happening tomorrow, what's happening for the rest of the evening, how are you all feeling? As you're nearing the end of this massive journey now, like a journey like the X Factor style, and journey as in trogging across a desert. So what are your final thoughts, guys? Let's get it from each of you if we can.
All right, well, tomorrow tonight, first of all, we're going to have some dinner quite soon, and then we're going to probably just all go to bed because everyone is shattered tonight. Mm. Get up at 5 a.m. our time tomorrow, which is 2 a.m. your time.
2 a.m.
Go on. Yeah.
And because you have to make the most of it when the sun is down and just coming up, because it's a lot, well, it's still hot, but it's a lot less hot than 48 degrees.
Yeah,
so we're going to try and do as much as we can tomorrow. But you have to remember that we've still got quite a way to go. And the danger is tomorrow that we go, oh, it's fine, we're near the end now, and kind of stop trying. So we just have to push on and dig deep tomorrow and get to that finish line.
Okay.
There were tears along the way, and there will be more tears tomorrow, I promise you. And I think when we get to the end, there'll be a massive group hug and everyone will just let it all out, because this is... been an amazing experience, and it's changed so many people's lives already with the money raised. Mm. So if we could just raise loads more, then it'll be perfect right now.
Okay.
Oh, well, yeah, it just keeps us going. It's fantastic. So thank you, everyone, so far.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast. Podcast.
But now, time for some Dear Sarahs. The PR4L, here she is.
Dear Sarah and PR4L, today I measured my hair. Turns out it's 23 centimetres long. I don't know what possessed me to do it or why I did it, but part of me feels slightly happier knowing this. Have you ever considered measuring your hair? Ciao, Becky from Bradford.
Well, Becky, no, I've not. I mean, you only normally measure your hair if it's, like, weirdly long, and then that's measured by whether you can sit on it or not. Never trust a girl who can sit on her own hair. Oh, there's always one at school who's got hair down to her knees.
Do you have to tie it up when you go to the loo?
It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it looks weird. It looks like really scraggly after a certain length.
Yeah.
But then I can't grow mine because my hair's so thin. I can't grow it past my shoulders.
Can you know what happens if you keep going?
It just breaks off. It just looks like so thin and like wispy that it just... Does it just have the chop.
Cobwebs on your back.
Yeah. It's not a good look.
Mine's taken ages to grow. In the first flush of love with Ben, I went to the hairdressers and I wasn't concentrating at all. And this Italian man like gave me the shortest haircut ever and dyed it sort of like off turnip brown. And I went to a wedding soon after and everyone was really polite going, oh, it's nice. It's because I was all loved up. I didn't really care. I was like, it don't matter. I'm in love. Get me hair. I'll get me hair cut. And it's since it's taken me... Well, the couple whose wedding we're at, I've had two kids since, and they're like a good couple of years apart, so it's probably been like 4 years for my hair to grow. So I'd be quite interested to know how long my hair is.
So how long was it before, do you reckon? I've got a tape measure here, by the way.
Okay.
This is courtesy of Nick Knowles. He brought it in, let you know, of DIY and all those ones.
Oh, is that Nick Knowles?
Nick Knowles' actual Stanley measure. Do you want to have a quick go? Do you need me to come and do it for you? I'm not even joking,
being that impressed. Send Fee round. She looks like she knows her way around a tape measure.
Right. So 23 centimetres was what Becky's hair was.
Hi, Fee.
Hiya. Hi, Fee.
So where do you measure it then from?
I think you measure it from where it grows, from the top of your head. From the crown? From the crown.
Right. Oh, that's an interesting technique. She's pulling it out sideways to measure
it. Make sure you get the longest bit of it.
Do you think this is the first live hair measuring on the radio?
Probably. If this is put this up for the Sony,
yeah.
If I robbed a bank, would you describe me as having long hair or shoulder length hair?
Long.
Really?
Yeah.
That is my ambition.
It's crossed that line.
Really?
Between, is it not?
She'll promise me. You're not saying that.
It's long.
Is it long?
Like
I've got
at least
long hair, not
3 inches below your shoulder. How long are you?
Where is it? To there. To there.
What have you got?
38 centimeters. Woo! Genuinely thrilled. How many inches is that, Fifi Bell? 15 inches. Get tellies as big as that. Me hair's as long as a telly's wide. Should we have a go at yours?
Oh, mine's so rubbish. Do we really need to measure mine as well?
Well, I don't know. I'm just quite fascinated to compare that. So yours is sort of a short kind of bob.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Which is.
Do you see what I mean about the end? Yeah. I've only got 25 centimetres.
Okay, we'll just move on.
That was a bit of an anticlimax.
Well, it's real life. Real life on the radio. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We can't go pretending that you've got extra centimetres when you've not. But, you know, thank you for that, Becky, who emailed that in. That's interesting, that. I bet a lot. But do it at home and let us know how you get on.
Dear Sarah, Becky, TOTDS, PR4L and Scott when he gets back from saving the children.
Oh.
I just want to thank you for your amazing podcasts. Mm. During this half term, I've had 8 pieces of homework and 2 pieces of coursework. I won't bore you for too long, but I sit at the computer for at least 8 hours a day staring at Word, trying not to go on Facebook. Mm. Again, thank you so much for keeping me alive whilst doing coursework. Lizzie, XXXX, heart smiley.
That is really nice. Was there any questions in there?
No, she was just thanking you.
That is really nice.
Really
Lizzie.
Nice.
Say high five coming at you, sister girl. Thank you very much.
Dear Sarah,
hi.
I need some words of wisdom from a person who fully understands what kind of situation I find myself in.
Oh.
I've come across a tricky choice and I need guidance from a person who's incredibly knowledgeable in the field.
Is this about love?
Probably, knowing your amazing expertise.
Yeah, I know about love.
Farming.
Farming. Beef cattle, specifically. Small amount of horse riding. bringing up children.
Hair measuring.
Hair measuring. And I was goalkeeper in netball. So if it's anything to do with any of those. And food, obviously.
Should I go for the egg or tuna mayo sandwich for lunch? Tuna gives you bad breath, but egg gives you wind. Your thoughts would be appreciated. All my love, Josh from Solihull, off of the West Midlands. Smiley. P.S. The PR4L always refers to Smiley as Smiley Face. I've always known them as emoticons. What is BBC policy on graphical punctuational pronunciation? Laughing Smiley.
Okay. Yeah, that last bit is boring. But, Josh, the bit about the sandwich. egg or tuna? Well, Becky, I believe the two can be mixed, and that is called a...
Niçoise.
A niçoise.
I think, don't care what anyone else thinks, just go for both in one.
Go for whatever you fancy. Yeah. You've got a lot of vitamins and protein and that in the egg, and lots in the tuna as well. Tuna's good for your brain, so even though you may be trumping and a bit smelly with bad breath, at least you'll be intelligent. Bang! Bon appetit.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
We're looking at Kate Middleton, but it's cool. It's the young royals. We love them. Love Prince William. I'm still checking the post for my invite for the wedding. And I've not spoke about it on air because a tiny bit of me still believes that due to my tireless work with Centrepoint, of which he is a patron of, it's a great charity, I kind of think that maybe they've got my old address. And like there's a big golden envelope from the Queen, like lay on a dusty mat somewhere near Finsbury Park in a rented accommodation. What?
Do you not think someone might have checked?
Ooh, what, the Queen?
Well, they might have like some assistants and that.
What, like footmen? Would it be like Cinderella where they send a footman out and seeing if...
Well, can you imagine if you haven't had your invite and then there's a spare seat and everyone's like, where's Sarah? Because they won't be able to start until you're there. Be right, really embarrassing.
Be really bad. Bad vibes. Massive bad vibes. BVs. Will not be happy.
You'll be sat at home going, that's where I should have been.
Yeah.
That gap.
I mean, do you get a goodie bag like at the Brits?
Did you get a goodie bag at the Brits?
No, but if you present an award and stuff, you get... Oh, no, I got a goodie bag at one of the after parties.
Did you?
Crikey.
I just went home in my trainers.
Oh, packed full of vouchers and foot cream and all things you could dream of. Amazing.
Didn't get any of that.
Yeah, loads of products in it. It was wicked. But maybe, like, if you go to the royal wedding, you might get a goodie bag. Do you know what I mean?
Well, with some
hair straighteners in it and some yoghurt samples and that.
Like a party bag with, like, a bit of cake. A bit of sweaty cake wrapped in a napkin.
Yeah, a bit of cake in a napkin.
And then, like, what else to get?
Well, mini whoopee cushions we put in our kids' ones. Mm. A bit of tat, a bit of plastic tat. Maybe you'd get in the royal wedding party bag, you'd get like a cup with their picture on, do you know what I mean? Our commemorative plate. Although we were talking about it earlier and you said you'd hate to be a royal because of the amount of germs you'd be paranoid about them having to share.
No, say that. No, but I am quite funny about germs, and if you're a royal you have to shake everyone's hand.
You have to shake everybody. Mind you, she's got leather gloves on there as Kate doing that first royal engagement. Maybe that's the reason why. Because I think it would be rude if she had, like, on, like, the side of her designer belt, she could just have a little sort of, a little squeezy thing of antibacterial hand gel. But it might look a bit snobby if once she's gone, pleased to meet you, congratulations on the lifeboat. Squirt, squirt, peasants. Do you know what I mean? Bad vibes again. So I'm sure she won't do that. Are you going to celebrate when it's the royal wedding?
Yeah.
I think I owe it to Lola, because I remember when William's mum got married to Charles. I'm very familiar, very first name, aren't I? I remember that we had a bit of a fuss and maybe even might have had a finger buffet and like a bit of bunting up and stuff. So I think I owe it to Lola to do a little mini party on the day that it's on. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? I've got a confession for you next.
Go on.
It's about my dirty finger. I'll tell you after. No, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Podcast.
So on yesterday's show... I was talking about how my betrothed, lovely other half, Ben, well, there's lots of things that I do that annoy him, but he does love me and he treats me very nicely, but he doesn't like me breathing on him. Doesn't like me breathing in general, just not on him. I was trying to spoon him in bed and be all nice and cuddly, and he's kind of like off with the breathing, like... apparently I just breathe really heavily and it's really hot breath on his neck and it just drives him mad. And I was questioning whether it was just me. Lots of men confessed on the text that they hate the girlfriend breathing on them, and lots of girls going, yeah, I get in trouble for that as well. I was, you know, because I sort of spoon him and then I twist my head round the wrong way, a bit like a, you know, in Toy Story, isn't it? Is it the first one where the toys all come alive to scare Sydney next door? And Woody's head spins around and he goes, so play nice. It's like that, I try and spin my head round and not breathe on him. And I was talking about, I'd seen Jason Manford Comedy Rocks, and there was a guy on it that I had to sort of pause and rewind and show Ben this guy talking about it, because it seems it's quite a common thing, girls breathing on boys. So anyway, it's called Steve Shanyansky, his mate tweeted me last night going, you were talking about my mate on the radio. He's a good pal of mine. He's very funny. He's a young comedian, comes from Manchester. This was his first appearance on proper big telly and that, and he did a grand job, he did. So it's nice. We found this original clip where he was talking about it. It's very true.
Just moved into a flat with my girlfriend. If I wasn't here right now working, I could only afford to be at home cuddling right now, and it's proper boring, right? It's boring. It makes me hot, and she breathes on me. Said nicely, Steve, isn't it just cuddling? No! I want to die! Get it out of my face! I've worked out if I breathe at the same time as her, it creates a breath barrier, what pushes her breath away.
I love it. And I'm glad it's not just me, then. Radio 1 Podcast. Radio
1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.